Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville, South Carolina, and you can find all of my contact info in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your real estate needs. And just a reminder, if you like the show, please subscribe to it so you don't miss future episodes, okay? Hit the little subscribe button, hit the like button if you're on YouTube, leave a comment, any of those good things. I try to respond to any and all comments that I get. And of course, if you guys are emailing me or texting me, you will get a response. If you don't, it's because it didn't come through in some way. That most frequently happens when people randomly email me out of the blue. It could get caught in my junk folder or something like that. So please reach out to me a few different ways if you don't hear back from me within 24 hours, because you will hear back from me usually within a couple of hours of reaching out, if not sooner, because I really prioritize getting back with people. I think that that's like really like the one non-negotiable for a realtor is responsiveness, not just for clients, but also for other agents. So, you know, I was talking to multiple people on Sunday, Easter. It was Easter. It was 420 for those that celebrate. I was still responding to multiple different people, talking to multiple different people over the course of that holiday. And that's just the way it is. I try to be responsive as much as I can, even when I'm on vacation, talking to clients from the top of mountains in Yosemite, as I've done before. So anyway, I enjoy what I do. So these are not complaints. These are just me sharing with you guys that, that I don't mind reaching out to me at weird times. If I can't get back with you, I just won't. That's just the reality. But I usually will text people and say, hey, I'm not going to be available for, you know, for a couple of hours here. Can you hang tight? Those sorts of things. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. Thank you to all of you in recent weeks who have reached out and let me know that you're watching or that you're listening. Again, I would appreciate if you guys could leave some good feedback on the show to get it out to as many people as possible. But today we're going to be talking about the market stats that we now have for the month of March. As you guys know, whoops. Oh, am I sharing the right thing here? Actually, yeah, I am. Okay. As you guys know, sorry, there was a moment there where I thought I was sharing the wrong thing for this podcast. And that wouldn't be good if I shared with you guys something personal on my computer, which I have a lot of personal stuff on my computer, obviously, as most people. But here we go. I've got the GJAR, the Greater Greenville Association of Realtors market stats. Obviously, we're at the end of April, or towards the end of April, depending on when you're listening to this. These market stats usually get published around the middle of the month, is pretty standard. They were not published in time for me to go over them last week, but now I have them for this week. And there is some interesting information in this. And really, right off the bat, we're getting one of the most interesting things, which is new listings data came in hot, hot, hot for the month of March. We had 2,539 new listings. Now, let me compare to last month how revised the new listings, because this data always gets revised. Okay, so February got revised actually up. So February, when we went over the February new listings data, it was 1953 new listings. That just got revised up to 1973. And so I talked to you guys about how revisions are always made to these numbers. Usually revisions are downward. And so that's what I wanted to check here. Is there a possibility that this March data is going to be downwardly revised? Unlikely. February got revised up. So here's what we have. 2,539 new listings. If you're looking at the graph, that is by far the record. I mean, not even close. We've never even come close to 2,500. We had a month in 2022, right before mortgage rates really, really went crazy in terms of going up, that a bunch of people listed their homes for sale because they knew, oh crap, the market shifting, I better get in now before the complete shift happens and home value starts to stall or whatever the case may be. We had one month back in 2022, where we got to roughly 2,400-ish, and we just 2,400 new listings, and that was in the middle of the summer. We just completely blew past that. 2,539 new listings. That is a 24% increase year over year versus the 2,048 that we had in March of 2024, which was a pretty normal, like, that's a pretty normal number for March. March of the prior year had 1,960. So for us to be in the 2,500s, that is a very unusual trend. So what's happening there? What's happening there is people are being forced to move. It's finally happening. We're seeing forced sellers. They're relocating. They've been holding off long enough. They're getting jobs elsewhere. They're having reasons why they're having to move. And they finally have no other choice. They have to list their home for sale. And so this is what's happening. You have situations where there's now families that have been living in 3-bedroom homes. They've got 4 kids, and they just can't do it anymore. They just need that 4th or 5th bedroom. They're being forced to sell the 3-bedroom home and move up and purchase the next size home. So that's what I think is happening in this data. But this is, you know, from a buyer standpoint, if you're a buyer and you're just like, I'm not seeing anything on the market right now, that's a problem. Okay. We need to have a little come to Jesus moment here, because if you're not seeing anything on the market right now, when new listings are coming on the market, a lot, we've now had 2 out of the past 4 months where we've had over 20% year-on-year listings increases. All right. December was also 23.7% increase. Now, we had a decrease in January of minus 1.4%, but February was up 3.9%. And now March is the highest ever that we've ever had in the history of Greenville. Okay. So we need to have a conversation. If you're just not seeing what you're looking for, either what you're looking for, it might not exist, or it's possible that you're just extremely selective. And there's nothing wrong with that. I actually prefer very selective clients over clients that are just like, I can live in anything. It's a lot harder to find anything than it is to find something very, very specific, believe it or not. Because nobody actually wants anything. Like, everyone does have a specific criteria in their head when you get down to it. It's just some people understand their criteria better. So if you're like, I can live in anything as long as it's below this price point, you actually haven't done enough thinking about what you're looking for, because nobody, I don't know anybody that's willing to just live in anything. But I do get people sometimes that will talk to me. They're just like, you know what, at my price point, beggars can't be choosers. I'm willing to accept anything. And it's just like, no, we need to refine this a little bit more. Otherwise, it's going to be really challenging for me to help you as your buyer's agent. But of course, the other possibility is that, as I've already said, there just might not be on the market what you're looking for. Just might not exist. I'm not saying 100%. If you've been looking, you can't find anything, that what you're looking for doesn't exist. But we do need to start thinking about that as we go into these summer months when inventory starts to increase in our market. You should be seeing things that are interesting to you, and if you're not, then you might need to reconsider your search criteria and your buy box. Pending sales. This is one of the numbers that always gets revised. So let's look back at February. February, I thought we might have a lot bigger of a drop-off than we ended up having in pending sales after revisions. It really wasn't that big of a drop-off. It was only a 1% decrease year-on-year. So February got revised to 1,359 pending sales. Only a 1% decrease versus the 1,373 pending sales that we had in February of 24. January also got revised up a little bit on the pending sales, which is interesting as I was going back and looking at this. So originally we thought January was down 9.2%. And that was something that we talked about, when we went over these pending sales numbers before. But that got revised up to the point where it was only a 1.5% decrease year on year for pending sales in January. So we have had January, February, two straight months of negative pending sales, but both very, very close. Minus 1%, minus 1.5%. March, what is looking like to me is that it may end up being somewhat in line with that. So these pendings tend to get revised by about 500. So currently March is sitting at 952 pendings. That's going to get revised upward. So probably in the 1450 to 1500 range. March of last year was 1544. So I'm still expecting there to be a third straight month of pending sales declines. What I don't know though is if February gets tweaked again, February could actually go into the positives. So long story short, pending sales are really staying pretty comparable right now to what they were last year at this time. However, closed sales are increasing. And this is something we've talked about now for a few episodes. So I'm not going to go into a ton of detail here in terms of why it's happening. But closed sales were very strong for the month of March. 1,560 closed sales. That was a 12.7% increase year over year. And so March of 24 was 1,384. That's really, really good, right? We might still be seeing some of the backlog from Helene still showing up in the data a little bit, but by now we should mostly be out of that. I still have one client impacted indirectly by Helene. And so for the most part, I think we've got Helene, that hurricane, out of our system. And now what we're just seeing is more people that are going under contract are actually closing. That's good, right? I've been talking about how buyers are picky right now. That pickiness is reflected oftentimes in contracts falling through at times when they wouldn't, right? During COVID, when the market was crazy, rates were 2.5% or whatever the case may be, buyers were not backing out because it was so hard to get a home under contract. Once you got under contract, you stayed under contract. I mean, you did whatever you needed to stay under contract. Buyers were waiving all contingencies, basically, for a stretch there. The market completely flipped, and it became this market where buyers were backing out over everything. Well, we're starting to see it normalize a little bit, right? We're starting to see more meeting of the mind between buyers and sellers that we're finally getting some of these homes to closing. It also required sellers to adapt to the market too, right? Because when we had like 3 years where sellers could just put a home on the market, it didn't matter what they do, it didn't matter if they deep cleaned, it didn't matter if they did any improvements, they could have bought it 6 years ago for $300,000 and now it's worth $340,000, sorry, 6 months ago for $300,000, didn't do anything to it, now it's worth $340,000 because the market's appreciating by, you know, 2% every month. And this was the sort of stuff that people got used to for like 3 years. Well, it took sellers a while to figure out, oh, I need to actually like improve my house. My house is, and I need to make my house marketable, right? That's been a big thing because buyers have gotten so much more picky in terms of just nitpicking every little thing about a house. Well, that's taken sellers, and this is what happens in markets. It took sellers a while to adapt to that. That's a big change, right? In real estate, a year is an eternity, but 3 years of a norm, like the entire market kind of settled into it being this insane seller's market, it takes a while to adapt to that. So here we are, really 3 years removed from that crazy, almost 3 years removed from that crazy seller's market, and we're finally seeing some stability showing up in some of our data here. Crazy. Days on market until sale. Okay, this is one that I'm very interested in seeing what happens, right? Because what I've been looking at is, are we going to see normal seasonality? Or if we're entering into some new sort of market where maybe we're completely shifting to a major, major buyer's market, days on market would ignore seasonality and just start to increase, right? It would start to take longer to sell homes. What it appears is that we are experiencing normal seasonality. So you can see in a normal year, days on market typically peaks somewhere between November of the year prior into maybe March of the current year, and then it starts to go back down. We have tons and tons of data that shows this, and this even includes, to a certain extent, the pandemic years as well. This is something now, it was a little weird during the pandemic years. But you can still, if you look closely enough, you can still see seasonality during the pandemic years as well. And so it looks like, at the moment, like we are experiencing normal seasonality. March, days on market went to 58. Here's where I'm going to compare it month on month, right? Because year on year, it went up, right? Days on market has been going up year on year for quite some time now. 7.4% increase year on year. March of last year was 54 days on market, which is basically your way of thinking, the way of thinking that from the time you list a home until it goes under contract, right? 54 days last year, March, 58 days, March of this year. With regard to comparing it month on month, last month, February, was 62 days. Let me see if that was revised. No, that was not revised. So 62 days in February, and that's come down to 58. That's what we would expect. We would now expect, if normal seasonal trends occur, we would expect days on market to start going down for the next several months, right? Homes should be selling more quickly during the summer months versus the winter months, okay? So at the moment, that indicator also tells me, okay, we're not experiencing anything super duper crazy or anything super duper weird just yet. Now, everything is contingent, okay, on the broader economy. And there's a lot of concerns that I have with the broader economy right now. I have a lot of people chirping at me on social media. Because I will simply share my opinions on Facebook. If you want to see me really unhinged, follow me on X or Twitter, whatever it's called these days. Mostly I talk about sports on there. But on Twitter, I will or on Facebook, I'll share some of my thoughts on the economy and political thoughts, which tend to be controversial. Too long didn't read version. I'm not really a fan of either party. I criticize each party individually. So depending on who's in office, I get chirped by the opposite side usually, right? Because I'm usually criticizing whichever party has control of the government because I don't really identify with either of them personally. That's just me. Long story short, I've had people chirping at me a lot about the economy, saying, the economy is not that bad. The stock market isn't doing so terrible. If you look back historically, blah, 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 blah. There's been rebounds. Even today, as I'm recording it, there was a little bit of a rebound in after some comments that it got leaked that Bessent made. So I keep hearing this, but you've got to look way beyond the stocks. The economy is not just the stock market. And so, you know, what I'm looking at, I'm looking at the bond market. I'm looking at the unemployment rate. I'm looking at the price of gold. I'm looking at the US dollar currency. And I'm looking at all these things in contrast to other countries as well. And what I see, it does make me concerned. In fact, the comment that Bessent made today, to a private group, he said that the current trajectory is unsustainable. That doesn't sound so good, right? So he knows something that a lot of people are denying right now, which is that the current trajectory of our economy is not sustainable. The question is whether he has control over that or not, and what's going to happen. I don't know. I really don't know. But I am prepared for the worst, okay? There are some pretty grim potential outcomes, and we just need to not dwell on that, but we need to be prepared for it, in my personal opinion, all right? There's your politics from Stan for the day. That's all I'm going to say for the moment. Median sales price. We finally reversed the trend after so many months of year-on-year negatives in terms of the median sales price. We finally now have two straight months where we reversed the trend. March, the median sales price went up to 315. That was an increase from 310, which was March of 2024. Now, we're still quite a bit off from the peak that we've had. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that is the highest March print that we've ever had. So so again, very strong. If you're a seller, you like the looks of that, right? This is we're starting to see that some of the seasonal trends, right? Because this is usually the time when it's a better time to sell during the spring and summer months. It's when the maximum number of buyers are out there. It's when the most aggressive buyers are out there. And one thing we've been looking at is like, okay, how much of the issues that we had at the end of last year were related to Helene, were related to the elections, were related to seasonality, all coming together at once. That was something I've complained about multiple times on the show. And it does appear that those things were a factor, because now we're going back to seeing year-on-year increases in the median sales price, which is the preferred metric that I like to use. So we're at 315. If someone asks you what's our average sales price, tell them, well, let's not talk about the average. The median's more accurate, and it's 315,000. Now, if you want to still tell them the average, which has big swings, right? Because of sometimes we get, a glut of million-dollar homes that end up selling, or we might get a glut of really cheap condos. We had one year that like 80 cheap condos all sold within a few month period of time. That artificially depressed the average sales price. And so the average, because a lot of people don't realize this, the price point in the greater Greenville area right now that's experiencing the most increases in demand is the $750,000 and above price point. That is the hottest price point right now in the greater Greenville area. So the result of that is that the averages are really skewed, because there's not a ton of homes in Greenville at that price point in contrast to, all of the other price points. So if we have, 500 homes that sell, for $1 million in a month, that's going to really skew this data, right? Because we just went over that the closed sales, wait for it, the closed sales for the month of March was 1,560. So if a third of those are million-dollar homes, well, that's going to skew the averages here. But the average ended up being, in case you're wondering, the true average, 386,430, which is a 4.7% increase over 369 and change of March a year ago. These averages, the past 12 months, we've only had one month where the average sales price has actually gone down. I don't know if my screen went away there for a second. I did something by accident. But the average sales price has generally pretty consistently been going up, which you can see based on the graph that I have in here. Percent of list price received. I'm going to read this one. This is the percentage found when dividing a property's sales price by its most recent list price, then taking the average for all properties sold in a given month, not accounting for seller concessions. This number went down 0.2%. So it went down to 98.4%. Down from the 98.6% of March a year ago. Not really drawing any major conclusions from this, right? If you're a seller, you can expect to get roughly 98.4% of what your home is listed for after the appropriate price reductions have been made, right? That's an important detail, because this only looks at the most recent list price. So you have to have your home priced correctly, and then once it's priced correctly, you'll get 98.4%. Although you might have to make some seller concessions as well, okay? Basically, I'm not drawing major conclusions from this, because we've been hovering around 98% really since 2016, with the exception of the pandemic years. So 98%, give or take, if you want to call it 97.5% to 98.5%, I'm not going to fault you. That is right in line with the norm for the greater Greenville area, so I'm not drawing any major conclusions from that. It did go down a little bit year on year, no big deal. Some of these metrics favor sellers, some buyers. That one a little bit favoring buyers a little bit more. Housing affordability index was flat year on year. 98 is the housing affordability index. We like to see it at 100. That means that the median household can afford the median priced home. We're a little bit below that. We're at 98. Again, Greenville is a very mortgage rate sensitive market, and mortgage rates have been going back up after they went down a little bit right around the elections. They've started to go back up. A lot of that is related to directly related to the Trump tariffs and bond sell-offs that have happened that have then indirectly caused mortgage rates to go up. It's a whole entangled mess in this economy. And this is one, this is just something we have to deal with. But if mortgage rates just came down a little bit, this housing affordability index would definitely go up to 100. So hopefully that will happen sooner than later. Inventory of homes for sale. This is one that that oftentimes gets revised. So for instance, February got revised down about 500 units. So February had an 18.6% increase year on year in the inventory of homes. It was, went up to 4,249 homes, up from 3,584 the year before. Now, currently, they're saying March is at 5,300, which would be our highest since, like, I don't know, like 2014, basically. But that's going to get revised down. Probably, again, it'll probably get revised down to about 4,800, but that's still going to be a huge increase year on year from March of last year, which was 3,700. So we're, again, a lot of new listings coming on the market, and inventory as a result is really increasing. So this is really something to watch, because if we do see, if we see demand stall out in any meaningful way while inventory is surging, we could see a big flip to a buyer's market. And I've been saying it kind of is a buyer's market, but I'm talking about like a major, major flip to a buyer's market if these dynamics get out of whack. So we'll have to see. Again, it won't feel like a buyer's market to many people because everything's so expensive right now. But that's a very real possibility that we just have to keep tracking, right? We have to keep looking at the data, seeing what's happening. Month supply of inventory. This is not going to be right, right? Because we're dividing inventory of homes, which I just said is going to be revised, by monthly pending sales, which I also said is going to be revised. So it's currently saying our months of inventory is 4. That's inaccurate. It said last month, here, let me pull up last month on my other screen. Last month, February, it said it would be 3.6 months of inventory. That got revised down to 3.1. So now that we're at 4 months of inventory, that'll probably get revised down to maybe 3.5 months of inventory. That'll still be a big increase. Whatever it gets revised to, it'll be a big increase over last year, which was 2.8 months of inventory. So again, we need to watch this. I think if we start to get close to 4, and for sure if we get above 4, we're going to really feel, it's going to really feel like a buyer's market. As long as we're in the mid to low 3s, I think it's going to, you know, the market is going to feel roughly the way it has felt, which is kind of this, I keep saying it's like a stuck market. It's not a, it's definitely leaning more towards buyers at the moment, but it's just a stuck market. It's not a market where anyone's happy, right? Buyers aren't happy. Sellers aren't happy. Nobody's happy. In fact, normally in buyers markets, most buyers are not happy. The buyers that are the ones that have a lot of money, investors. They're the ones that get super happy in a buyer's market. Now, I work with a lot of investors. So, you know, as far as my business is concerned, I'm going to be operating in whatever sort of a market we have. If it ends up becoming a buyer's market, so be it. If it ends up reversing and going back to a seller's market, so be it. There's opportunity in every market. And you know, if you're interested in real estate, you need to position yourself accordingly, because things can change very, very rapidly. The political landscape can change very, very rapidly. We already know this. We've had tariffs go on and off like 2,000 times already this year. And the market is going crazy every single time something comes out that about tariffs or about inflation or about whatever. Now Trump is talking, and I predicted this years ago. Go back. I have an entire podcast on this. Trump's talking about ousting the Fed chair, Jay Powell, or Jerome Powell, if you want to call him that. I talked about this years ago. What would happen if the Federal Reserve became partisan? We are so very close to that actually becoming a reality. And if that happened, I'm going to tell you right now, very, very bad for the housing market, okay? Really bad for the economy as a whole. The economy would not respond well to that. And the downstream effect, that would be negative for the housing market for a variety of reasons. So there's a lot. If that happens, that's going to cause tremors. Depending on what all happens with these tariffs, there's a lot of potential. And we just, again, I'm not trying to make this overly political. This isn't about, I hate Trump or I hate this policy or whatever. I'm simply telling you guys what is true and what the possibilities are, depending on different outcomes that could happen. Of course, my phone is ringing at the moment and I can't silence it. So I just hear it in my headphones. I don't think you guys can hear it. But anyway, I appreciate you guys tuning in as always. You guys are great listeners and I would appreciate if you'd be great subscribers as well. So please subscribe to the show, hit the little subscribe button. If you can leave a 5-star rating, awesome. I would really appreciate it. If you leave a comment, also awesome. Any way that you can engage with the show supports the show. Even if you're never going to use me as your realtor, you can support the show in those small little ways. And if you do want to use me as your realtor, my contact information is in the show notes. Reach out to me anytime you want. Thank you guys for listening, and we will talk again next time.